How's everybody doing? Is anybody awake? Just a minute. We're waiting on a couple of guys.
So thankful for this day, and we thank you, Father, for the period that we can come together and study your word. As we begin our class, we pray that you look down on us in tender love and mercy and forgive us of any wrong that might separate us from you. We thank you, Father, for Christ Jesus and for the church that he established. We thank you for your word and the revelation you've given us, and we thank you for the expression of your love to us through Christ Jesus. We pray that you be with Gary today as he leads our thoughts in this lesson, and we pray that the things that we learn can help us to build our faith, draw ourselves closer to you, be the kind of men and women that you want us to be. We pray, Father, that you be with those of our number here who are ill, we pray that everything that we do in our lives will glorify you. We pray all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. You want to talk about foundations? My wife was kind of looking over some of my notes and things. She said, "Boy, you wore that one out, didn't you?" We had a really good talk about these things.
Yeah.
She especially liked my little blacktop picture with a piece of grass growing up through it, because it seems like every house we've owned, that has happened. So I told her we had a really good discussion about that. As we were leaving, you know how it always goes. You're teaching this class, and the bell rings, and you're like deer in the headlight. Look, you didn't even get halfway through your notes. Well, this last class, we were talking about, do you believe? And I kind of asked you as you were leaving to consider something, and some of you probably heard it and some of you didn't. I wanted you between Wednesday night and today to consider, do you believe? I'm going to ask you to start by turning to John chapter 1. And you know we're going to get John 3:16 in a minute, right? So every one of you are adults now. Every one of you are believers now, right? So what if somebody said this to you? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let's say you walk onto campus, your very first day on campus, you're sitting around, and this subject comes up with somebody who has no idea who God is. They've never heard of Jesus Christ, and they have no idea the things you guys have learned from your youth, that God did create all things. How would you handle that? Well, and that's a serious conversation, because I'm telling you, within my first 30 days at Western, I met somebody that had never heard this passage and had no clue, and they wanted to talk about it. Has that happened to any of you yet? What would you say? You know, when I was just out of college, I was visiting some friends down in Tennessee in the middle of nowhere. Well, Sunday morning comes along, and these are friends of Christians too, and they're like, well, come on, we're starting a gospel meeting this morning. I said, who's your preacher? And they're like, well, we don't know, because they've been away at college too. We walk in, and Randall McPherson is the preacher for that week. He was the preacher at my church where I grew up. That was kind of funny. So Randall, we kind of had a laugh, and I had the Bible in my hand. He said, you're not going to need that this morning. I thought he lost his mind. So he stands up, and he says, when it's time for him to speak, and he said, put away your Bibles. Shut your Bibles. He said, this morning we're going to prove that God exists without a Bible. And he preached an entire lesson, and it was good. But I remember having this conversation before about belief. Do you believe? And then I ran into somebody, and they didn't. So, do you believe? Do you believe that? Do you believe that in the beginning God created everything? Has anyone asked you yet why you believe? How'd you handle that, Cameron?
I mean, at the time, I just said I need to, because I mean, looking through my life at this point in time, I would either be in a very terrible place or here, down here. So belief is easily one of the things that has kept me going.
When this person asks his question, they say, why do you believe in God? Is that how it kind of came up? Because a lot of you went to Florida College and everybody there believes, right? Well, I didn't. I went to Western. You went to Alabama. There's a lot of heathens in Alabama. I'm sorry. But did that ever come up while you were there? Do you believe?
I mean, yeah, and the time that I spent at WKU, too. And honestly, y'all tell me if I'm wrong, but I've heard a lot of people go for college and fall away, right? Why do you all think that is? Let's get some discussion going, because three classes in, we've already, you all heard hearing that talk a lot.
There's a lot of people that go, like I know a basketball player, he went and he didn't believe. Okay. And it was Nathan Ward's class after the first lesson. He's like, all you have to have is faith. You don't have faith, you can't be a Christian and believe. And just that was so enticing to him that he started reading the Bible.
Really? Okay. Excellent example. Well, I mean, so that's a good story, right? Like that's somebody that didn't believe and that had some positive influence. Do you guys know people that have gone to FC? And we're just picking on FC, right? Because a lot of people think that just because you go to FC, that your faith is going to be automatically strengthened, right? Why do you think some people go and they fall away?
Sometimes it's not entirely their choice to go. Their parents send them hoping that it will straighten them out.
Maybe they feel like they have to go?
Yeah.
Okay. What up, Abby?
I haven't been to FC yet, but like I feel like a lot of people go out thinking like everyone's a Christian, so like they kind of let their guard down a little bit.
Boom.
Yes.
I think that's a good one, right? Why is that? Why do you put your guard down? Why do you feel like you can put your guard down?
Just because you think everyone's going to do the right thing, but they don't always do it.
And then the next thing you know, you're in a tough situation, right? So you're susceptible to sin there, just like you're susceptible to sin at WKU. Sometimes, for me, as crazy as this may sound, like when I was with my Christian friends, we would be more susceptible to do things that are like a little bit on that line, right? quick story, you just kind of find yourself when you're young, kind of getting into things, right? So me and a buddy, he won't care if I say his name, Chad Marshall, who used to go to Lost River. He lives out in Colorado now. His dad was Ken Marshall, who passed away a few years ago. But you probably know his sister, Casey Greer. I think she's married to Will. And so Chad and I are like, you know, we're strong in faith, but sometimes we just do stupid stuff. Like one night, we're driving down Cape Mill Road. I just remembered we have a judge in the room. Sorry, David. I hope the statute of limitations is over for this. So at the time, I lived in Somerset, which was like 2 hours away, but I'd come down here and hang out because these were the only Christian friends I had. So Chad and I are driving down Cape Horn Road. We're bored. It's like 9:30. Like, should just go home and like watch a movie, but instead we see like all these police cars going down Cape Horn Road with like their lights on. So obviously something's about to happen. Let's go see, right? Naturally. So we turn around and we follow the cops at a safe distance, and we go and we're like trying to figure out what they're doing. So we go back behind this Kroger on Campbell Lane, and there's that church that's on the other side, and you've got, you know, the car wash, waterworks. You guys know where I'm at right now, kind of. And we're like, okay, let's go see. So the cop cars pull in back behind Kroger. So we're like, all right, let's go figure things out. Let's go watch what happens. So we're like, from a safe distance, let's go over into that church parking lot where there's a big tree line, and we'll watch through the tree line and see what's going on. So we go and we park. We get out of his truck, and we start looking through the tree line. We see all these cops and stuff. Man, this is cool. Like, they're obviously like, they're looking for somebody. Like, somebody's done something bad. So we're laying on our stomachs. Right, this is cool. Like, this is like TV show stuff. We're texting a lot of our friends. We're like, no, we're spying on the cops. They're going after somebody. All of a sudden, we look up, and they're all gone. Like, I'm talking 15 to 20 cops gone. Like that. I said, Chad, where'd those cops go? He goes, I'm not really sure. I said, that happened quick. Let's get out of here. We make it to the truck, hands on the handle, and in formation, just like the movies, the cops come pulling in that parking lot, do, looking at us, right? Get on the ground. Get up. We didn't do anything. Get on the ground. So I lay on the ground. Chad's like, we didn't do it. My Chad, please get on the ground. So we get on the ground, and they're literally sitting on our backs by putting handcuffs. I don't know if my dad knows this either, so there's not. By putting handcuffs on us, I was in town for VBS at Lost River. So I start crying like a baby. I'm like, I'm in town for VBS. The cop goes, what is VBS? I'm like, Vacation Bible School. I'm in town for Vacation Bible School. And so, you know, they figure out really quick, like, we're just a couple stupid kids that were doing something we shouldn't, but they were looking for somebody who had been robbing cars. And just so happened, the getaway car was a 1996 Silverado, which is exactly what Chad was driving, and that they saw in the church parking lot. So, funny story, but clouded judgment there, right? And like, when you're with your Christian friends, sometimes you're like, you make exceptions for things that you shouldn't make exceptions for because you're with your Christian friends. On the contrary side, when I'm back home, now there's no Christian friends I have. It was easy to say no to all my basketball teammates whenever they played poker after the game, right? When they go and play poker and they bet and they start drinking and all kinds of stuff like that, that's an easy no. That's an easy no because it's so black and white. But sometimes even when you're with your Christian friends, relationships that should strengthen, like you should hold each other accountable and it should strengthen one another, sometimes that's when you become more susceptible to doing questionable things like following the cops, right? Or going down a road about social drinking, or going down a road about religion and music in the church, and that's when you've got to be solid, because that's when you put your guard down. So, big mom story there, but I felt like it's kind of funny. Please don't tell my dad.
Well, I've got my story about that too, and I'm going to tie it into this because as he was going,
did you get arrested too?
No, I did not, but I should have been. I got really sick, and your story really dovetails into my notes well. When we're talking about, do you believe? What do you believe? Why do you believe it? Why is West End Church of Christ doing it the right way? Do you know we are? You should. But who dictates what you do or what you even believe? Okay, that's easy from age 1 to about 13 or 14. That's going to be mom and dad, right? Your parents, your grandparents, your immediate family. Well, from 14 to 18, something weird happens to us, right? All of a sudden, we think we're grown. We start making some of those decisions. Did anybody in here besides me and Nate go through a rebellious period from like 13 to 18? I know you didn't. Who else? Seriously.
She's got.
Nobody else did?
I did.
Oh, come on. I did. If my mom said, okay, you need to wear your black shoes today. I ain't wearing my black shoes. Just because mom said, you're going to wear your black shoes today. I wear my brown shoes or die. And I look really stupid when I think back about that. But my point is this, and I'm going to get to his story because I got one for you too. From 14 to about 18, we start going through decisions ourselves. We get to decide. And a lot of those decisions are about, yeah, some stupid things we're going to do in life we have to learn. But what happens at about 18? We go off to school usually, or we go out into the working world. From this age right here, what happens to us? Well, Nate sort of hit at it. We kind of go through an exploration phase. Is that? We get curious about a lot of things, even about a lot of things we think we already know the answers to. And then we decide those little groups of people that we're going to hang out. Who's going to be our influence? And I can remember, I told y'all this story, that there were five of us who went away to college together that were just tight, thick as thieves. And finally, my brother and I are sitting on our bed in the dorm room looking at each other one night. And I remember I was the one that said it. Look, we can't be friends with these guys anymore. They're going to get us into some trouble. That peer group is going to become that influence on what we do, what we believe. So if you don't have your mind made up, you better make it up, because you're going to go through some of this. Now, I get to tell you my stupid story, and I really wish David wasn't in here for this stupid story. But my stupid story was like this. We played ball, softball. We had a traveling softball team. We went all over the world playing. It was kind of cool because out of the 11 guys on the team, 9 of them were members of the Church of Christ. There was no drinking. There was no drugs. That was easy. It's like he said, that was easy. But we were away at a tournament one time. We're young, and somebody said, what are we going to do tonight? Because we'd won our bracket, and we're waiting for the other bracket to catch up with us. I said, I know. Let's play poker. Anybody know how to play poker? Nobody in our group knew how to play poker. So we stop, we pick up poker cards, and they have instructions on the back. Now, this is just a curious thing because, you know, a lot of other teams and things are playing poker. There's nothing inherently wrong with poker. We didn't have money or anything in it because none of us had any money. But I distinctly remember, we didn't have any drinking or anything like that because none of us didn't drink and we could afford that either. But I do remember one guy bought 4 of those big Circus cigars. You ever seen those things? And they stink. So we sat around for 4 hours playing cards and smoking those cigars, trying to figure out who's winning and what's up. You've never seen 4 guys as sick in your life the next day. And we decided real quick, you know, just because the world is doing that, it seems like it's kind of fun, doesn't necessarily mean it is, and we need to be doing it. So that's my stupid story. And I can still remember mom when I came home for the weekend. What's wrong? Why are you so sick? I was sick all weekend. I can still smell one of those big old fat cigars to this day, and I get sick. Anybody else have a stupid story? Fun story? I told you about my Ash Wednesday comment.
So, who spent some time at Western? Raise your hand. Yeah, you. They still have those people that are on campus that hold up all the signs and yell at you and tell everybody that they're going straight down. That's it. Yeah. So that's kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, right? Is that ever? They were there when I was. I mean, how do people react to that?
There were really 2 reactions: a curiosity to be observed, or an annoyance to be ignored.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Do you think it's how much success do you think they have with that technique? 0. That's fair, right? So they have people on campus. It's this group. I don't even know. Does anybody know them?
It's for attention. I'm pretty sure someone had talked to someone, knew someone there, and I'd asked them, and I think it boiled down to it was just an attention
thing. So this group holds signs, and they tell, you know, they hold up Bibles, and they basically just tell everyone on campus that they're living in sin and very judgmental type approach. So, like, even then,
always in the same area, too.
Always in the same area, right?
Which wasn't even the center of campus.
So those people, how do they affect the perspective of Christianity?
Well, this was going to tie in. I wanted to jump back to what you said about people falling. I don't know if it particularly happens at that college, but hypocrisy is probably one of the biggest things that will drive people away, in that you're surrounded by people who you think are living the correct way, and when you go and you meet other people who say they're living the correct way but don't, that jades your perspective. And then when you go back, you pay a lot more attention. And if the people you grew up with also weren't living in the way that they had been saying they did, then that usually causes people to lose their faith. And then, as to your point, when people take extreme actions, it unfortunately creates this sort of blanket effect or association effect where people just associate Christianity with running around yelling how everybody's terrible and repent or be doomed and all that.
Excellent point. Yeah.
I too experienced some of that, what you're talking about. Let me tell you what I think this age group and you guys are going to fall into when it comes to your faith or belief that is probably more relevant to you than faith or no faith. Turn, if you would, to John 3:16. I probably don't even have to turn. You've seen it at every ball game. If there's one piece of scripture that anyone, anywhere you're associated with, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's a ball game, what scripture could they possibly tell you? Oh, I know John 3:16, right? And I remember saying to a kid at Western one time that said something about John 3:16, said, "Do you know it?" And I had him read it. So read it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And I asked him, how are you going to have that everlasting life? We got to believe. And the next thing that you're probably going to fall into is what else goes with that? Well, you know the next scripture. "He that believes and is baptized." Okay, so, you know, reality is you guys probably aren't going to be hanging out with just super bad people, right? Y'all are quick enough and sharp enough to surround yourself with good kids, good people. But probably not every one of those is going to believe the same thing that we do in the Church of Christ. We believe in faith. We believe in love, repentance, those kind of things. But we also believe that baptism has a purpose too, right? Have y'all run into that yet? Has anyone not told you yet that you're silly for believing that baptism is anything but just a show of your faith? And y'all are living a show of your life.
I'll say no, but I knew someone who probably did believe that. And like, we were pretty good friends throughout college. And I mean, he went to, I think it was Living Hope, I think that's the church name. Mm-hmm. And like super, super spiritual, quotes verses, always sit prayer at meals. He's the type of guy who, you know, lived probably as close to Christianity as possible. But, you know, and he always invited me to go, and I decided, okay, you know what, I owe him at least one visit, and I also was curious just to see, and I do think this is, sometimes you got to see what's not done correctly to actually see it. We can be told, you could tell me day and night, oh, this is what this church is doing wrong. But sometimes until you actually see it, you don't actually understand. So I actually went twice, but the first time I backed out because it was on a Wednesday and I got really confused over which building to go into because they were going to a different building than what I had been told. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to just do it another time. So Sunday night I went. As for the service, it was okay, but it was the standard, you know, God loves everybody, let's all be happy together kind of thing. And I got to finally see the music in the service, no invitation to go forward, whatnot. And I do remember, like, we kind of had a conversation after, but then I remember this one time, I don't know where this next part will fit in, but I just remember he was talking to this woman, and he, you know, they're having a nice conversation, and he's like, oh, so you're gonna be here Wednesday? Like, oh no, I'm all churched out for the week now. I just remember seeing his face fall really briefly, and then, like, you know, he maintained his, like, I'll say the poker face, and poker's the topic today. He maintained a sort of poker face, and then, but I just remember seeing that, and, like, you know, it's kind of moments like that where even people who aren't in the correct way 100% could then fall even further out, so to speak. I don't know where I was going with this conversation, but I just know that we did have a conversation a little bit, and I kind of tried to get on baptism, but it didn't really go, I didn't really get the full way on there.
Well, I mean, I think when you started that, I think you are hitting on something that I wanted to talk about. And what I'm trying to get us to focus on is, do you believe? What do you believe, and why do you believe it? For instance, that scripture that we read there, John 3:16, baptism wasn't mentioned there. Belief was. If you look to verse 18, it says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but to, man, we talk about these lights, I can hardly see this. But to he who does not believe is condemned already. And I can remember the very first time at college that someone asked me, why do you believe in the Church of Christ that you have to be baptized? That ain't nothing but a bunch of water. Why do you have to believe that? All you're going to do is get wet. And I had to answer that question for this person. And I remember John 3:18. And I was saying, well, belief is necessary. If you don't believe, the baptism is just, you're just getting wet. But there was a reason. We read in the first century Christians that they were baptized. Do you believe that? Let me ask you this. Are you certain of those things? Because you're at the age right now where I remember this. I remember taking chemistry classes at Western. And we had to prove everything. And one of the most interesting classes we had, when you checked into the first day of it, was a science lab in the ag department. And the first day that you checked in, you were given a brown paper bag with a number on it, A12, A14, A17, whatever. In that bag was a ground up feed of some kind. But they didn't tell you what was in it. They didn't tell you what it was for. And you had the 8 weeks of that class to do any and every experiment you wanted to on that feed, but at the end you had to make a presentation on what was this feed and what's it for. Mine ended up being a feed for horses. Well, to do that, you had to find out what is the moisture content, what's the protein content, what's the breakdown of amino acids versus dry matter. All those tests to find out, okay, it meets this standard, it meets this standard, it meets this standard. Oh, the horse is the only animal that has to have all these standards met, right? Man, I hope you see where I'm going with this. As you begin your young adult life, you're going to get questions. You're going to get questions about your faith. Yeah, we spent way too much time on foundations, but the foundations are what build your faith. And you're going to get questioned on some of those kinds of things. Have you done the testing to find out what kind of feed you've got? One guy ended up with dog food. He didn't much care for that.
what is the foundation? Like, what is your foundation of faith to take even a step further? Let's advance this, right? What is it built upon? What is this? The Bible. That's what this is. What is your Bible? What is the Bible? It is the gospel. What does the gospel mean?
Good news.
Good news, right? Is it something that you earn, per se? Is it something that you just have? What is the gospel? What do you guys interpret? There's no wrong answer here for me. I'd like to hear, like, what do you define the gospel to be? If it's good news, open-ended, what is the gospel?
And let me add to that, because he's on to something here. In the year 2000, the gospel, existed in Bowling Green, Kentucky, in how many different formats? In other words, how many different registered religions were there in Bowling Green, Kentucky in year 2000?
Well, to answer that question, what do we define as a registered? Like, are we deciding Christianity as a whole?
Yes.
Well, are we talking about Church of Christ, Baptist, Catholic?
Here's the deal. I don't know where the registration was, but a public record listed registered religions in Bowling Green, Kentucky, because this appeared in the Daily News. In the year 2000, how many were there? Anybody want to guess?
250.
Anybody else? 84. There were 84 different churches, if you will, that had their own gospel. And that's kind of back to what Nate's hitting at here.
Yeah. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read verses 1 through 8. So the beautiful thing is, we're told exactly what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And this is where Paul summarizes some of the most just basic ingredients of what the gospel message is. You know, he specifically names the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, and then even dives into it a little bit deeper about four different clauses, and we'll talk about those two later. But let's read verses 1 through 8. Any volunteers? So you don't hear me talk. Sure, I'll do it. Thanks, sir.
Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. I'll finish that, or down to 11.
Yeah, go ahead. That'd be good.
For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe.
Excellent. Thank you. For me, when I look at the Scriptures, you have to look at it in its entirety, right? What's being said? If you ever get into a disagreement with someone, and you just kind of go back and forth, and like, if Abby and I are disagreeing about something, she says something to me, and then I disagree with her back, and like, I'm not getting what she's saying to me if I don't listen to her whole spiel, if you will, right? It's a marriage piece of advice to, right? Let them finish, and then you can dive in. But when you're looking at Scriptures like this, this is comprehensively one of the most important set of Scriptures that you guys can understand, and that is the gospel and what it means to you as an individual, what it means to you as a Christian, what it means to you and your faith. So let's go back and look at it a little bit, verse by verse as well. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. All right? Brothers and sisters, Is there anyone that that doesn't entail? Nope. So first and foremost, from the very beginning, as the preface, the gospel is for all. What you received, on what you've taken your stand, so what you believe in, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believe in vain. So what has been taught is right, which means if there's a right, there's a, somebody finish it?
Wrong.
Okay? So if you don't believe in what I taught, Paul says, and you believe in something else, then you're, once again,
wrong.
Okay? So it's not an all-encompassing gospel without some restrictions and parameters. Verse 3, for what I received I pass on to you as first importance. So, as a preface, that means what? What I'm about to say is very important. First importance, emphasis. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried, then what happened? That had never happened before. He was resurrected on the third day and then appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, but have, through some have fallen asleep. Why is that significant? Somebody tell me. Why is that important that Jesus, that he mentions this, that Paul mentions this? Not only did Jesus, after his resurrection, appear to the 12, the people that he's closest to, the people who are preaching the gospel, quote unquote, but who else did he appear to?
Cephas.
Who else? 500 of the brothers and sisters. So a lot of people. So you can't come and you can't dispel the fact that it happened. Then he appeared to James. And he appeared to all the other apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also. That's for the one that normally born. Verse 9. Another very, very important part. For I'm the least of the apostles, and do not deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. Paul says, I don't deserve to see Jesus. I don't deserve to see the miraculous resurrection of Christ Jesus. Because at some point in my life, I persecuted everything that it stood for. I stood in the way and tried to prohibit this from ever happening. And the people that believed that it would, I persecuted. Yet here I am, witnessing Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead, living, breathing, and becoming what is to be. But by the grace of God, so grace is important. Sometimes we talk about grace in a way because other people believe it's all you have to have. So sometimes I think we diminish it, but it's important to acknowledge that we gotta have it. Paul acknowledges it because of his mistakes. He is where he is now. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. Whether then it is or I, they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. The foundations of what the gospel is. Okay? So here we got to understand, like, Paul's a fantastic example of someone who didn't understand, didn't have, like, concrete faith by any means. Like, it was completely the opposite. But through these circumstances, through a lot of other circumstances, he became a believer. He became, you know, an important part of delivering the gospel to so many. And we have to understand what the gospel is and what it means to us, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to understand, kind of have our there's certain things that we can't change about it, but we each have our own relationship with how we became faithful. And you guys have to understand what that is.
I couldn't help but think about it when he was talking about that. How did Paul come to know? And that's in Acts chapter 8, his conversion. People say he was converted on the road. No. Actually, he went into the city and he was studying for 3 days. What do you think he learned in that 3 days? He learned something about baptism because he was baptized. What's the other scripture that you guys are likely to get questioned on?
Mark 16:15.
That's exactly right. Turn, if you would, to Mark 16. This is the Great Commission. Let's start reading in verse 14. This is Mark 16, verse 14. It says, later he appeared, he's talking about after Christ has been crucified, he's risen, and he appears to these disciples that Nate was talking about. It says, starting in verse 14, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. What? He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe they had seen him after he had risen. Well, we just read where Paul affirmed that, right? Here Jesus appears to them and they didn't believe. You know, that's kind of like Peter when Peter was in prison and the local congregation gets together and they pray for his release. He's released. He comes to the gate and is knocking, and Rhoda, the young girl, comes to the gate. She doesn't believe it's him. She goes back and tells him, it's Peter at the gate, and they don't believe. That's why we're talking about these things this morning. Reading verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Y'all going to get questions on that one, aren't you? Have you ever had this happen? Because I did. When I was at college, I was a member of the old 12th Street Church Christ, and somebody said to me, you guys just believe in baptism. You don't believe anybody else is going to go to heaven, but you guys. Y'all faced that question yet? Just curious.
Repeat the question.
If somebody asked me, they said, well, you guys down there at the Church of Christ, you just believe in getting baptized, and you also believe you're the only ones going to heaven. Anybody face that question yet? If you didn't, I promise you, somebody around you is thinking it when you tell if you're a member of West End Church of Christ. How are you going to answer that? That's a very foundation of your belief. Can you?
Like I said, you have to be careful in how you answer it, because there are some churches, like my uncle, he likes to visit a lot of different churches of Christ back home. And he said he visited this one church, and that was the attitude they had. Not even other churches of Christ, just that one particular church was, according to them, they were the only ones that were going to go to heaven. And you have to be careful, because you have to be careful in how the attitude is being presented, because that is something that will put people off.
Good.
It's an elitist. It comes across as elitist.
Yep. Good. David?
But the way I answer that question, I've heard that question a lot of times. The way I answer that question is to say, I believe the same thing about it that you do. And that is, I just need to obey what God set out in this book. And then you can start a conversation about what it means. There's a real important passage of scripture, because people talk about how they feel and all sorts of things. Just dog ear this in your Bible. In John chapter 6, verses 44 through 45. No one, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And people stop there and say, see there? It's only for certain people. Then Jesus says, it is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Christianity is a taught religion.
Yes.
It's not one of those things better felt than told. It is a taught religion. That's what Jesus called it.